This is 89.1 KUAR. Governor Asa Hutchinson is about to hold his weekly press conference on COVID-19. So let's take you now to the state capitol.
Thank you for joining me for today's weekly COVID update, but actually a weekly update for a broad range of issues. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Jose Romero of the Department of Health, as well as Dr. Ivy Pfeffer, Deputy Secretary at the Department of Education. And let me first make a comment about the ongoing developments in Afghanistan that we're all watching very carefully and with great heartache. That has developed into a military crisis, a humanitarian crisis, both at the same time. And I reflect back on my post 9/11 world in which we had to protect America from a terrorist attack, and what our men and women did in Afghanistan was extraordinary. Their service there for right at 20 years has kept our homeland much safer. And so that has to be acknowledged, and that's an important fact. We also know that they received the cooperation of the Afghan people, many of those whom at great risk to themselves supported the U.S. mission there in Afghanistan. And that is where we come today as to we see this crisis unfold, and we first want to make sure that all Americans get out of there safely, that they have the passage that they need, the military support that they need. And we're all praying for the military operations to be successful in getting Americans out of there. Contractors, all the personnel that has worked there in service of our country. The second priority, though, should be those Afghan nationals that fought alongside, trained alongside, and supported the U.S. mission. And the point I want to make today is that Arkansas understands the American responsibility toward those families, those brave people that supported the United States of America and that's mission, and Arkansas would welcome them as part of the other states that are welcoming those that need a place of refuge. Arkansas would certainly stand in the gap there and say we want to do our part and fulfill the mission and responsibility that America has toward those families. With that, let me shift to today's focus on COVID-19. And I want to start with the case report, which is sadly broke any trend that was developed in the last 3 days where we had a downward trend in cases. But today you see we have 3,549 new cases. And in talking with the Department of Health, it certainly some of these are coming from the schools, and we will get more information as to the numbers, but that is one of the reasons for the spike, which is not necessarily unexpected, but we're hoping that that kind of spike would not happen. Active cases are up, as you can see. Deaths, sadly, have increased by 16 as a result of COVID-19. And then in terms of the hospitalizations, we have 38 newly hospitalized and five new additional on ventilators. In terms of the vaccinations are at 8,776, not as high as it has been in recent days. Hopefully that will kick back up because I liked the vaccinations when they're around 10,000 a day, but it's hard to sustain that, partly probably because we had a rush of students getting vaccinated prior to school. Now that they're in school, we don't want to lose our focus on increasing those students that are vaccinated as well, those that are over 12. So as you can see, we're still dealing with this. Whenever you look at Washington County with 466 new cases, Garland County with 262, those are really high numbers for those communities, and we will delve into those more carefully. And then if we go to the next one, it reemphasizes the points that have been made, but this is very, very important as we continue to increase the emphasis on vaccinations. If you look at the chart, the data since February shows that of all the cases, 91% of COVID cases were in individuals that were not fully vaccinated. If you look at the second graph, you see that of the hospitalizations since February 1st, 92.6% of hospitalizations were in individuals that were not fully vaccinated. And then finally, you can see on the death side that 91.46% of the deaths were in individuals that were not fully vaccinated as well. And so now let's come back though, and these statistics that we see, both the increase in the number of cases as well as the statistics that vaccination is your best path to avoiding hospitalization or serious consequences from this. And so we're continuing that emphasis on vaccinations. We did have news last week, of course, that the FDA authorized and recommended doses of COVID-19 vaccinations for those that are moderately or severely immunocompromised individuals. And so that is present now. That booster shot is available for those that fit within that definition. We also know that in coming weeks, the HHS has approved and announced that they're waiting on FDA review, but they are recommending that there be a booster shot for everyone that is susceptible to getting the vaccination. And so we are currently developing plans to implement that strategy, even though we're not ready to do that yet. We're working with our pharmacists, our hospitals, and making sure that we will have the vaccines. Colonel Ader is here, who has started developing the plans for the implementation of that third booster shot as we get more information. And then let me go to our school situation. First of all, as we indicated last week, we planned, we have implemented, and we have delivered now high filtration masks have been sent out to all the children across the state, and that includes over 500,000 high filtration masks are being sent to the schools. That should be delivered this week, and that includes specifically 325,000 that are designed for children's masks. We continue our vaccination emphasis with Stop the Hesitation, Get the Vaccination campaign, and that is in full swing. And then I want to take a second to applaud our school boards and our school leadership across the state of Arkansas. As a result of Judge Fox's ruling, they have the opportunity to make their own decision on their local school district as to following the CDC and Department of Health guidelines on masks in the schools. And of the 262 school districts, 118 have adopted a mask policy, and that covers a majority of the students in Arkansas. 87 have chosen not to adopt a policy, and 57 have taken no formal action. It also looks at the university systems, with the U of A and ASU systems adopting a mask policy, as well as Arkansas Tech University and University of Central Arkansas. And so what we see is that school districts are weighing this decision very carefully. They're listening to people, and they're making a judgment based upon what they see as the best public health outcome for the students in their district. To me, they have served well, they have taken on that responsibility, and they have represented their districts. And I know that will be ongoing, and they'll continue to review that, but I wanted to applaud the school boards and the leadership for the work they've done. Finally, according to the CDC, we do now have 51.2% of Arkansas's total population at least partially vaccinated. Now, we didn't meet that goal by July 30th, but we have met that goal. According to CDC statistics, we want to continue to increase that because that will bring us ultimately the relief that we want. And with that, I'll invite Dr. Romero for his comments, followed by Dr. Pfeffer.
And this is State Health Secretary, Dr. Jose Romero. You're listening to KUAR 89.1.
Thank you, Governor. I want to limit my comments today to the booster doses that have been already approved by FDA and CDC, and those are for immunocompromised individuals that have moderate to severe immunocompromise. I'm encouraging them to become vaccinated, to get their booster doses. They can receive that at any pharmacy or at a local health unit or with their primary care providers or their subspecialists if they have them. With regard to the latest recommendation or by HHS to for booster doses in the general population, we are awaiting, as the governor mentioned, FDA and ACIP approval of the vaccine and policy recommendations for the use of those vaccines. Those currently apply primarily to individuals that have received either the Pfizer vaccine or the Moderna vaccine. Decisions for the booster doses for the Janssen vaccine have not been issued yet and will be forthcoming after that. We see that there will be a need to reach out to populations that we made special efforts to reach out to in the initial phase of vaccination. We will be reaching out to them again. This will probably be a phased approach given the fact that we addressed high-risk populations such as those individuals living in long-term congregate settings first. They will receive their vaccines first. I want to make it very clear that the recommendation is that individuals not receive their booster until 8 months after the second dose. And there's a reason for that, which we'll discuss in coming weeks. But right now, we don't believe that everybody needs a booster immediately, and this will be a phased approach as we rolled out the vaccine. And I'll stop here and turn it back over to the governor. Thank you very much. To Dr. Pfeffer.
And this is Dr. Ife Pfeffer, Deputy Secretary of the Department of Education.
I'm happy to be here with you today. We want to report that we have had a smooth start to the school year. Some may say that it's been smoother than what they expected, but we really want to credit that to the fact that our schools are ready. They've done a tremendous amount of planning, a lot of communication, and we also want to credit the cooperation that they are getting from their parents and from their communities. According to our data, all schools are open, and we do not have any school or district-wide modifications reported at this time. We know that that could change in the future, but what we know right now is that the number of disruptions is significantly lower in many schools in spite of some of the positive cases, and that's due to the number of vaccinations that both staff and students have received. And also because several of our school districts have implemented mask requirements, which also cut down on the number of quarantines. I want to highlight some of the school districts in how they're reporting information to parents to help people better understand not just the situation in the schools, but also how they impact students and staff regarding quarantines. The Cabot School District has created a new data dashboard that not only shows their numbers each day by school, it also shows the number of students that are not having to quarantine as a result of either vaccination or mask wearing. I know the Marion School District is also providing this level of detail to their parents. And it's important for that communication to be ongoing so that parents understand situations with their children, their classrooms. But it's also important to note that when schools implement layers of mitigation strategies, that is what is safer for students and also going to prevent a lot of the disruptions that occur. We do want to also recognize that the vaccination clinics in many school districts are continuing across the state. Some of the examples that I know of are in the Rogers School District. Within the last week, they held a vaccination clinic and vaccinated over 106 individuals. Most of those were students. Texarkana School District has recently had a vaccination clinic with 149 people being vaccinated there. And last Saturday, the Earl School District had 59 students who were vaccinated. So these are just ongoing evidence of how important schools are taking the strategies that they know will promote safety and promote continuous learning. And I just want to leave with a comment. In talking to a group yesterday, I asked what were they pleased with so far. And this was from a group in the southeast part of the state where a lot of students were virtual last year, but have chosen to come back on site this year. And the superintendent said, we're probably most delighted to have full parking lots and traffic, a lot of traffic around our schools. And I can't help but think that just a short time ago, full parking lots and congested traffic lines were probably some of the biggest headaches that school people would have cited. But my, how our perspective changes. And if anything, I hope that we are more appreciative of the numbers of students, the numbers of parents that can be engaged with us in teaching and learning. And I just want to commend all of our schools for the efforts that they've made and know that we'll be here to continue to support you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivy. With that, we'll take any questions.
I wanted to ask you two questions. First of all, the lawsuit that was filed against the Bentonville School District challenging their mask mandate. I wanted to see if you had any reaction to that, including the argument that they're making that the school board there did not have the authority to impose that mandate. Secondly, wanted to see if you or Dr. Romero could talk about the contact tracing efforts and how they're going and how much of a challenge is that going to be with keeping track of cases in schools right now.
First, on the question in reference to the Bentonville lawsuit, I haven't seen that, but it looks to me like that from a litigation standpoint, this will wind up in the Arkansas Supreme Court for a decision, and that will come based upon the appeal from the decision of Judge Fox, or it could be from one of the other courts, so I expect that to be finally answered by that court, and we'll just have to wait on that. In my judgment, the law that was passed has constitutional challenges, and that's what Judge Fox found, and that gave authority back to the local school districts to make that determination, as they have done very prudently across Arkansas. And in reference to your second question, Dr. Romero, did you want to do that, or Renee?
I wanted to go ahead.
You know, we scaled down at the time when the numbers started going down. So they're in the process now of hiring new people, training new people, but they're able to keep up pretty well right now. So.
Booster shots, are you expecting even more hesitancy trying to get Arkansans to get a third shot when it's already been difficult to get the first and second?
My answer to that is that I think whenever it's opened up for the booster shot that you will have a very large number of people who will want that. It'll probably start with the elderly population. I think you're going to see the doctors and teachers that will want that booster shot. Those that made the decision to get the vaccination are not going to decide, well, we don't want the booster shot then. I think it'll just simply be those that have not even begun to be the vaccination process that will still have that same opinion. Dr. Romero, do you want
to? That's on all the points I was going to make.
Okay.
In terms of the connection with the schools, you mentioned that we had a big increase in cases, and that's probably related to schools. Since classes just started on Monday, is that due to preparations that were happening ahead of the school year? And also, if we're going to see this escalation in cases, are there other measures that you're considering taking to increase the hospital capacity?
First, we're still going to have to look at this more deeply. And the reason that it looks like some of the increase in cases were coming from the schools is because you can tell how they're submitted. We have a very good system as to the schools submit the data into our REDCap system and where we tabulate it then, but they actually submit the data. So we can see where a lot of the data is being submitted. And that's the basis for it. I don't think that means, and Dr. Merrill might want to address this, but that there's been an outbreak in any school. I think this is just the natural flow of we're still in our first week of school, so we haven't got into a school spike yet because it usually takes a little bit longer than that. The second part of your question was on hospital space, and we've already taken steps to bring on additional hospital capacity. Right now we have 17, is that right? What's the number of ICU beds? 23. So if you will remember, last week it got down to 8 available ICU beds. We've gradually increased that up to 23. And so this is progress, and we expect more to come online in the coming days, as well as some of our med-surg beds as well. So we did the advanced planning and preparation, and the legislature appropriated the money that we needed to increase that hospital space. So in the near future, I'm hoping that we'll be in good shape. In terms of the children's hospital and children's care, they're still about the same capacity as there has been. So we still have available children's bed as well. Dr. Romero, I don't mean to, this is your area a little bit.
Thank you. No, what the governor said is correct with regard to beds and the availability of the children's beds. They show that they have availability today. With regard to the outbreaks in schools, we've not seen this particular district have an outbreak. There was one of the earlier schools that opened did have an increase, but across the board at this time, we have no single district or school that's showing an outbreak. We believe that this is just a general increase overall.
Aider, but is the state putting in a large order of vaccines in preparation for the booster shots?
Come on, Dr. Aider. I think Dr. Aider, you've graduated.
Don't do that, sir.
This is General Robert Aider.
Over the last 3 weeks, we've submitted almost 200,000 doses ordered. You know, over the last 7 days, we ordered just under 100,000 at 99. Really where we sit right now for the potential of the immunocompromised as well as a booster shot, what we expect is that we have right now in the state about 3.4 weeks worth of supply. At our peak, at our highest point throughout the entire vaccination program, we've only given out about a 2 week supply. So we're well positioned to be able to handle any kind of transigents, that would come up. So we were in a good spot, and I think we will be ordering as we go, but I don't expect us to be making a large order.
Good. Thank you.
Governor, since the Lambda variant is now in the U.S., should Arkansans be concerned about it?
Well, we have enough to be concerned about with the Delta variant. And so we're still studying the Lambda variant, but I think Dr. Romero should comment on that.
So as mentioned previously, the Lambda variant has been identified here in the state. We are tracking to see if we're seeing more cases or more isolations of that particular variant. I don't think that we need to be concerned about it at this time. We are vigilant and will continue to be so with regard to this and other variants. And just one other thing, it's another reason why we need to be vaccinated, right? We need to get those vaccination numbers up.
And I don't know whether we have anybody remotely today or not.
Good afternoon, Governor.
Good afternoon.
Are we concerned about school districts that have not enacted mask requirements for inside school districts? And when do we expect to see some changes compared to those districts that do have mask requirements?
You know, the What I've always advocated is local decisions on this point. They've made decisions, and every school district is in a different position, some more rural, some with low cases, and so they are making their individual decisions. I've actually been very impressed with the diligence in which the school boards are considering this issue. There will be an ability to compare districts and the cases that come out of those districts, and so as time goes on, there'll be more information related to comparing them or seeing how the cases progress in the different school districts. Next question. All right, yes, ma'am.
Who are concerned and worried after seeing some COVID cases at their kids' school for the first week?
The message to parents is to understand, as they do, how important in-classroom instruction is and how committed the teachers are to having both a good educational environment but also a environment in which the students' healths are protected. And so that's the reason that we're supplying masks. And so whether the school has a mask requirement or not, masks should be available for that child. And it's a high filtration mask. And so that should give them confidence in that environment. And then, of course, if the child is over 12, get that child vaccinated. Hopefully that's the case, but that is the best protection that you can provide for that child.
Can you speak on school districts and testing? Is that something they're doing on site or sent home? If they're sick, are they sent home to go get tested and then results presented to the school? And also, will there be weekly testing within school districts, or is that something that's on the table for future purposes?
The test, that's a great question, and the testing is under discussion. Right now, if somebody is exposed, they get tested many times in the school environment. Sometimes they get that test in home, and we're looking at that issue. But Ivy, do you want to make a comment on that, or Dr. Merrill, anything further?
So last year we did have some districts that participated in the Binax and BD Veritor testing through the school year. The Department of Health, we are, as the governor said, talking with the Department of Health about the possibility for those testing options to be expanded. Right now, if a student is a probable close contact and meets the requirements for quarantine, there are a different number of days depending on whether or not they develop symptoms. If they remain symptom-free and have a negative test, they can return to school earlier, and so we realize that if those tests are available to those parents in an easier format, possibly at school, that will just help get students back to school more quickly. Just something even too on an earlier question to help maybe decision makers as they're thinking about things. One of the superintendents told me that last year in her school, they had over 16,000 days of student quarantines. And so her case to her board was, we need to do everything we can in order to minimize this. So issues like testing, if that provides information that would allow a student to come back earlier, that can also be an important part of continuing that teaching and learning and making sure that those students have that opportunity for in-person instruction to the maximum extent possible.
Andrew, I think you got the last question.
The Biden administration, I understand, has raised the possibility of states that are banning mask mandates by schools, the possibility of them facing civil rights lawsuits over that from the administration. Have you gotten any kind of communication like that from the Biden administration? And even with the law here blocked, does that raise any concerns about Arkansas's ban?
I have not had any communication from the Biden administration on that issue. We'll see how it develops. The steps that they've taken thus far are making it a requirement for nursing home staff to be vaccinated. That's something that's on the table and I believe is moving forward as an option. I think we have to be careful, whether we're a state or a federal government, in those type of punitive measures to push, whether it's a vaccine or to require masks. I don't think that's good for governors or for the federal government. There are some exceptions to it. And I know that's what's being looked at in the Biden administration and as well as among governors, but I've not had any specific conversations with them. All right, with that, thank you all very much for today, and we will see you soon.
We've been listening live, Governor Asa Hutchinson giving his weekly press conference on COVID-19. This is 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. A quick recap, Governor Hutchinson said sadly, downward trends that the state has seen in cases have been broken. Today we saw 3,549 new cases. The number of active cases is up. Johns Hopkins University has ranked Arkansas currently as being fourth nationwide in per capita, the number of new cases. 16 deaths were reported. We also had 38 new people hospitalized in Arkansas. On Monday, the state reached an all-time high in the number of people being treated. The governor said 23 ICU beds are currently available in the state. He called this progress and said more will come online in the coming days. He also noted that in terms of the number of people vaccinated, Arkansas now has just over 51% of the state's residents who are available or can get vaccinated, have been vaccinated. Most Arkansas schools started the new academic year this week, and Governor Hutchinson said 500,000 high filtration masks have been sent to schools. That includes many designed for children. He also applauded school districts that are requiring masks. He said that was thanks to the ruling by Pulaski County Circuit Judge Tim Fox, which halted enforcement of a state law prohibiting mask mandates until a lawsuit could be heard. Safe to say that was a bit of a jab at the legislature, which refused the governor's request to modify the law during a special session a few weeks ago. Ivy Pfeffer, Deputy Secretary at the Department of Education, said that the state has had a smooth start to the new school year and attributed that to planning, said all schools are open, no districts have any modifications at this point, but said that certainly could change. Asked what message Hutchinson would have for parents who are concerned about the safety of their kids, he said it's important for parents to understand how important in-person classes are. Finally, the governor opened this press conference by talking about the crisis in Afghanistan, where the Taliban has taken control of the country. Hutchinson reflected on his time as head of Homeland Security during the administration of President George W. Bush. That was immediately after the 9/11 attacks of 2 decades ago. Hutchinson said it's important to get all Americans out of Afghanistan safely. He also said a second priority should be helping Afghan nationals who had been supporting the U.S. mission. And Hutchinson said that Arkansas would welcome nationals here if they need a place of refuge. So that's what we heard today. We'll rejoin here and now in just a moment. I'm Michael Hiplin, KUAR News.